Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everyone, it's Caroline from G-Thanks Just Bought It, reminding you that in between episodes, you can find me on Instagram at G-Thanks Just Bought It Pod. You can find products that don't make it onto the episodes and recommendations from listeners like you. So before you start this episode, give it a follow and say hi in the comments. And for a full list of every product we featured on G-Thanks, visit gthanksjustboughtit.com/episodes. See you there. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of G-Thanks Just Bought It, a podcast where we talk about what we just bought and what you might need to buy next. I'm your host, Caroline Moss, and I am joined by my guest co-host,
Sally Tamarkin.
You are getting so much better at that. Every week, an improvement.
Thank you. It felt really natural that time.
Yeah. I'm like, now I feel threatened, you know, by that delivery.
I'm coming for your job.
Sally joins us today from the West Coast. Over the last week, she and her partner, Andrea, have made their way across these United States. Just a quick check-in, Sally. Last time we talked, you were excited about your collapsible tea kettle, or basically just boiling water maker. How did that go? How did it serve you?
It's been going great. Okay. I highly recommend the kettle, and I'm going to take a video. The problem is that every time I've gotten up to make us coffee with it, it's been like completely dark. One thing about the Midwest and the West is that it's dark in the morning. I can't figure out why. It must be a matter of time zones, but there's no way to know. The collapsible kettle has been a lifesaver. So it's been great. I mean, one thing about traveling is that you just don't, you know, sometimes there's a coffee shop nearby, but it like doesn't open until after you want to be on the road. Or
yeah,
we've stayed in some hotels that provide like a Keurig or similar pod thing, but they'd like forget to stock it with coffee. You know, like, is there just like these obstacles you encounter on the road. And
yeah,
if you have a collapsible kettle, those obstacles mean nothing to you. So it's been amazing.
And you did say last week that you literally don't talk to me before I've had my Java. You said that.
Don't
in
talk
those
to me.
Words.
Exactly. I said it in like a flouncy script that you would see
you actually
on Instagram.
Sent me a piece of wood and you had painted it on it.
I had.
It's a weird way to communicate that, but I appreciate communication nonetheless. So this kind of allowed you to, let's say, just call the shots of your own schedule.
Yeah, totally call the shots. And like, It's nice to like save some money, like, you know, not be like dropping money on like coffee all the time. It's just like a thing. You know, we brought the coffee. We brought like a lot of LaCroix, you know, so it's like it's cool to not be – there's something about Caroline, can we talk just for a second about water? Are you familiar with
– I've heard
– are you familiar with water?
I've heard of it.
Okay.
I've heard of it.
Are you familiar with soft water?
Like in terms of water pressure?
No, in terms of like, you know how like there's hard water, which is like-
Right, with like minerals.
Minerals. Have you been in a place with very soft water before?
Yes. But I don't know that I would remember. Like, yes, of course.
Yeah.
But I actually thought it had to do with pressure. Okay, explain water to me.
I'm now
because
a water.
This is as someone who doesn't drink water and I'm not a hydro head.
Yeah.
I don't know a lot of things. So
okay.
I do know H2O, but that's sort of where the buck stops.
Sure. Okay. Well, listen, I'm basically a water expert because I did a little Googling and read one thing on the internet about it. Basically, where I am from and where I've lived my whole life on the East Coast, the water is very hard.
Yeah.
But in other parts of the country, as I discovered in Omaha, Nebraska, the yeah. water is very, very soft. And the way it, when you wash your hands feel slippery after. And for a second, when we were at the hotel in Omaha, I was like, man, this soap in this hotel doesn't come off your hands. Why are my hands so slippery? And then I realized it's not the soap, it's the water. Like the water, and it's like, it's really good for, it's apparently really good for a lot of things. And I feel like hard water people are actually the ones missing out because soft water like lathers really easily. And it doesn't, I think it doesn't cause as much like wear on your clothes when you launder them. All this is to say, since we've been in Omaha, continuing through like South Dakota and Montana and here in Washington, the water is really, well, it was really soft in Nebraska. And then it still has stayed pretty soft throughout. And so I'm not used to it. And while I'm not here to take a side, I'm not here to declare myself a soft or hard water head. I'm just here to say I'm not used to soft water. And it's like, I haven't wanted to drink it. So all that is to say, I'm really glad that I didn't bring a water bottle to just like refill it from the faucet, because while soft water is great and I'm sure it's delicious and there's nothing wrong with it, wow. I'm freaked out by it. So,
you are so weirdly, you're like blowing my mind right now. And maybe caveat that it's like super early in the morning and
sure.
maybe my brain hasn't like fully booted on from last night. But like I'm thinking about what it feels like to wash my hair at my parents' house, which is on the East Coast, which is in New York, and what it feels like to wash my hair at my house. And it is different.
It's different. So maybe it's like softer in LA. Cause like, you
it's
know,
probably that, softer in LA. Yeah.
That feeling of like squeaky clean where like as soon as you wash your hands, like you, there's almost like an astringent quality. Like that's very like hard water. And that's what I'm used to. And I feel like you could make the argument that like soft water is more pleasant because it feels better on your skin, but I'm just not used to it. So like, my hands feel slippery, and I don't know, but maybe, I don't know. Who can say?
I wish you could see my face, right? I'm holding my forehead. I'm like, it's almost like the whole entire world has changed around me. But now I feel like I too need to read one article and get my PhD in water.
Read one article. I read a great, it was like the South Dakota like Water Authority or the Nebraska Water Authority or something like that. I learned a huge amount, as you can tell from the way I'm speaking scientifically.
This is a very hashtag they in STEM moment for you and for me. And I know that we have hashtag women in STEM listening and maybe even hashtag men in STEM, but that's not a hashtag listening. If you have, if you're like a soft or hard water head, I would love someone to start this thread in the Facebook group.
Talk about it.
And let's talk about it. Let's come clean and literally.
Literally. And also, like, I want to know, too, like, does your hair look better when you – I haven't really noticed. My hair is, like, really short, and I have a hat on a lot, so I can't tell if there's, like, a difference. But, like, I'm sure that some people prefer hard versus soft for, like, their hairdos, you know?
It's been a while since we moved, but now that, like, we're talking about this, I do remember sort of the first couple weeks in L.A., my shower routine feeling and looking different.
Interesting.
And that probably is because of that. And also it's like a lack of humidity makes your hair look better regardless because you're not frizzy. But then also a lack of humidity makes your skin drier.
Right.
It was kind of just an adjustment of like my entire pH of my entire being.
Right. There's a lot going on going from the East Coast to the West Coast. So maybe you can't even isolate the water.
Right.
The soft versus hard because there's a lot going on. Yeah, that totally makes sense to me.
But I'm glad that collapsible kettle is working for you. I'm glad that you have saved some money because now you could probably buy another house because you've saved so much money on coffee.
We're putting it all into just buying more LaCroix.
Yeah. It's a good investment.
The other thing I will say, another really good purchase, and this is definitely more of an investment. The kettle was like $25 or something like that. Yeti cooler.
Pretty
spendy, but it's pretty amazing. It's like very, very like thoughtfully made, easy to use, keeps things cold for like 1,000 years. I'm really, really, really glad we got that.
No defense is needed for the Yeti brand. This is a podcast audience full of Yeti heads.
Oh, no way. Okay, great.
Oh, yeah. Well, have you had Yeti cups?
No. Is that like the travel cups?
They're kind of travel-y, but like I learned from my friend Serena, she just uses hers as like her morning coffee mug. And I started doing that too, because it's like, why only keep your favorite travel cup for traveling? Just use it at home. Like a Yeti tumbler, like a mug. When you are here at our house visiting, I will serve you a cup of Java in a Yeti
mug. Please do.
And we'll hear your review. But yeah.
Great, I would love that.
A Yeti cooler, it is really spendy, but it makes it like a really great gift. Like a lot of people register for those on their for their weddings. And that's like a fun gift. Yeah.
It definitely seems like one of those things that you spend a lot of money on, but then maybe also you have it for the rest of your life and you give it to your grandchildren or something. I don't know. It just seems like pretty high quality.
Yeah. And no, it definitely is like one cooler to rule them all. Like totally. you're not replacing it. I do like the idea of heirloom coolers. And sure. I feel like now I will probably just continue the podcast until I fully age out and can like interview listeners, like the ancestry of our listeners, to be like, which G-Thanks item was passed down to you after 84 years? I think it would be
bequeath your Yeti cooler.
Yeah. To whom will you bequeath your Yeti cooler? I really love that as an episode title, except it'll be an alternate episode title because the rest of the episode is nothing about Yeti coolers. It's nothing about travel. And it might sound a little bananas to be talking about it because I feel like I've already launched so hard into holidays because this is a shopping podcast. A lot of people here do shop early, and also Black Friday started, you know, in August. So I feel like I've had to really jump on top of that. But on the long and winding road to those 5 weeks between Thanksgiving and New Year's Day, we forget Halloween. We forget Halloween a lot. And we wanted to speak to the Halloween heads. And Sally, as we were talking about, potentially talking about this as a topic, the thing that really pulled me in the direction of, yes, we have to talk about Halloween just because it's fun to talk about nostalgia, costumes, best candy, best practices, really. Sally said to me that when they were in seventh grade, they wrote an essay, an argument entitled what, Sally?
I don't remember the title, but it was essentially like against trick-or-treating, a manifesto.
And you were 11, ostensibly or 12, ostensibly prime age for sort of a more independent approach to trick-or-treating.
It was my first tweet.
Exactly. You were really, I said to her, I'm like, you were pitching Slate for contrarian opinions long before Slate even existed.
Exactly.
Tell us more about, you know, as we kind of sort of explain or talk about our relationship to Halloween. I feel like that's a big part of yours. And I would like to know, against trick-or-treating, what your point was, how it was received. Please tell us.
Great. Okay. I want to say that you are talking to someone who has in their car for this road trip a raven, a plastic raven with eyes that light up red, and a hanging like a 6-inch tall like skeleton hanging from the car. So I'm very pro like a Halloween aesthetic. I have like, you know, I have a tattoo of a ghost. I have a tattoo of a skeleton, like, you know.
Leaving me more confused.
Right. I know. I love a Halloween aesthetic. Okay. Here's the thing, Caroline. Okay. So the essay, every week in seventh grade, we had this teacher who had us write these like response papers. I think actually she was the one who, she is like the original founder of Slate, because she would have us write these like essays. They were like 1-page essays, and they could be about anything we wanted, but they had to like take a position basically. And I wrote this thing about how like trick-or-treating was really boring. It was really cold. I grew up in the East Coast, and like, I feel like, first of all, I feel like nowadays it's not as cold. Second of all, I don't think it was even that cold then. Like, it wasn't like 30 degrees. It was probably like in the 50s or something like that.
Yeah, but we had small bodies.
True, true. And sometimes you know? You're in a costume and it's like, you're not wearing a jacket over your costume, you know?
Right. Unless you're me, because my mom made me. But yes, and that plus global warming. October, you know what? October used to actually be chilly.
October used to mean something.
October used to mean something. That's right. There used to be a nip in the air in October. I get what you're saying.
Yeah. So like the essay was just basically like, it's so cold. It's like, it's so boring. And you're just going around. Like, I'm not, I am not, and I've never really been a candy head. First of all, I don't have much of a sweet tooth. Second of all, my parents weren't, I feel like if you grow up in a household where you're never allowed to have candy and sweet stuff, you covet it intensely. And
oh, yeah.
I didn't grow up in a house that was like that. We weren't allowed to have like unlimited sweet things, but like, I just didn't, we had them enough that they, it didn't, I feel like Halloween is like the time kids are supposed to be like, finally we get to have candy. But like, I didn't really care that much about candy, and I could also have candy other times. So I was just sort of like, whatever. And like the dressing up thing, like Caroline, I'm the fourth child of four. And like the amount of effort that like as a little kid, like there are these pictures of my older brothers on Halloween and they're in like actual costumes, you know, with their little plastic pumpkin buckets. There's a picture of me on Halloween and I'm wearing like all black and I have like those glow sticks like taped to my forearms and like just like random like face paint. And I'm just like, I don't even know what I was, but I think basically by the time it was like time for me to go trick-or-treating, my parents were like, I don't know, like look in the closet, see what you can find. Like
absolutely.
It just wasn't, you know what I'm saying? Like they were like, we've done a lot of parenting. Like how about if you just like figure it out? So
totally. Like,
it was just never, I went to a Halloween parade at my school in second grade with my, we had like a Nixon mask for some reason.
Sure. I mean, and every family does, you know?
What family doesn't have that? I come from a family of theater people. And so I'm sure it had to do with that. Yeah. I was in a Halloween parade at age like 8 wearing a Nixon mask and doing the like, I'm not a crook, like this thing with like the two fingers. Like,
no wonder you were writing this essay 3 years later.
The whole thing was just like, it was just like a very chaotic, weird, you know, moment that I never related to. So then it came time for me to write a position paper and I chose to write. And the thing is like, I want to be very clear that this wasn't against Halloween. This was like against trick-or-treating. Yeah, exactly.
It's so that's sort of interesting. It's just so interesting that you like kind of knew like how to really give it to them. You know what I mean? Like imagine being, I don't think I had a strong sense of self at that age to be able, and you know, like in seventh grade, the worst year of your life, arguably.
Like without a question.
Hands still. Down, worst year. Yeah, absolutely. Like, have never had a worse year than when I was like 12.
No.
But I would have been so, like, I just did not have that kind of a backbone in seventh grade. And no troll, and no sort of like context for trolling. And I'm just sort of like so happy that you were like, not only, like, you're just like, I'm going to do it. And people are going to be like, whoa.
Yeah, they weren't into it. It didn't go over well.
Yeah.
But I feel like I want to just like be clear that like I don't know if it was about like having a backbone and like a strong personality or if it was about like trying to get attention or so. Like I just feel like again, like to this day, my hottest take and like what is a hot take for other than to like garner a reaction? So I'm sure it was like, I'm sure it had more to do with that. But I will say also like pretty consistent with my personality today, which is like, I don't really want to be uncomfortable. I like going for a walk. I don't really like wandering around. Like, I don't really care about candy. Like I could just stay home and watch TV, you know?
I feel like I get it, but that's not where I was. Also, I did grow up in like a no candy house. So if I wasn't going to get it from my neighbors, I wasn't going to get it, period. So
now that's interesting. Did you grow up in a natural peanut butter house? Because that's also like kind of a next level thing.
No, I grew up in the other category, which was like low sugar, low sodium, no fat, non-fat skim.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Snackwell's cookies and no calories, but like here are all these chemicals.
Sure.
We didn't go full organic, but you know, the 90s were a time of how can we make this 11 calorie Triscuit 9 calories?
Right, right. The 90s were a time of like, it's essential that like you have fewer calories, more chemicals, and also more baggage around food and eating. That was like the whole thing of the 90s. I totally get that.
Absolutely. Like it is just, I look back and I feel like, you know, scarred by a lot of what I saw during that war.
And it was rough. I mean, the Snackwells, say no more. I mean, that was a really rough time.
Yeah. You've listened to that episode of Maintenance Phase about Snackwells, right?
Definitely. Yeah, I have. Yeah. Yeah.
That was my gateway episode into Maintenance Phase because I was like, wow, this is speaking to my soul.
It's a great episode.
The voice is coming from inside the Snackwell.
100%. The snack is coming from inside the well. That's a good tagline.
That is so good.
I want to know, like, tell me, were you into trick-or-treating? Like, what's your relationship to the whole thing?
Well, it's like candy and trick-or-treating were synonymous. So if I wanted candy, one had to go trick-or-treating. I was allowed to go trick-or-treating. Yes, of course. So what was weird was like just all of these things that were like givens in my mind as a kid. I was home recently at the tail end of our Euro trip. Mm-hmm. And my mom and I drove around and we drove through a neighborhood where the houses were big, but we drove through a neighborhood in my town where the houses were big, but very far apart. And I was like, it's really weird that this was sort of like where we all wanted to go trick or treating. And my mom was like, it never made sense to me because you would need to run. You would get to maybe 11 houses in like 1 mile. Like it didn't, but like,
oh,
but you
brutal.
Sort of, but the kids thought of it like these houses are big. So the candy will be big.
So like the candy will be big. Yeah.
You want to go to the rich people's houses, I guess. But there were also so many other places in where I grew up where the houses were like, like just you could hit like dozens in within an hour. And that was never appealing. You wanted to go to the wealthy neighborhood. And my mom,
that is fascinating.
It's weird that we like, I mean, my mom probably knew at the time that wasn't like efficient, but like she doesn't care. Like if that's what we wanted to do, she would probably be like, okay, fine.
But was the candy better? Were you getting like Ghirardelli, is that what it's called? Like Ghirardelli chocolate and stuff?
Yeah, truffles. The butler would open the door and be like, and I'd be like, please, Grey Poupon. You know, I don't remember. I think probably there were like enough king size candy bar houses to keep you going through through that neighborhood. Mm-hmm. I like trick or treating. What I didn't really like was wearing a costume.
Say more, because I feel like I'm gonna like everything you're about to say.
Okay, well, as a child who had like some sensory preferences, and as an adult who has one, but is more in control of, you know, what I'm wearing. You know, every costume is so itchy. Every costume is so itchy and like just could give you a rash. You know, sure. We were not doing like a homemade costume situation. We were not doing like a DIY costume from like, you know, go to the Salvation Army or go to Goodwill and like find some things to make a costume. We were like, it was like, again, efficiency.
Sure.
You're going to the costume store, you're picking out your costume and you're wearing it. So you're wearing some like polyplastic situation and it was always itchy. My mom very much was like, you have to wear a layer under the costume if it's like a dress that has like no sleeves. It's October, sure. Which used to mean something, like we said.
Right.
But I also remember, I'm not a very decisive person, so also picking out a costume was difficult for me because you wanted to go early enough because you were excited and like you actually – like it was a shopping trip where you're like, I can go like – make my own choice, you know, like my parent, it wasn't whatever I really wanted to be. I mean, this is how I remember it at least, but whatever I wanted to be, my parents had no opinion. Okay. Like, they weren't like, no, don't be that. Like, you should be that. It was like, my parents like could not care less. They
sure,
were like,
sure.
Okay, whatever. But it was hard for me to go pick out my costume on the designated costume day that we were going, which was probably like around now, you know, mid-October, mm-hmm. and feel as excited about it on Halloween. I had probably gotten like 9 more ideas of what I wanted to be between
sure, totally.
The time I got my costume. But the problem with me and costumes was always that I really was drawn towards costumes that had like multiple elements. So I remember one year I was Scarlett O'Hara, and I don't think I knew who that was, but I liked the dress. Sure. And it came with like a big Southern hat, you know, it came with like gloves, and it came with what else did it come? It was like a dress, a hat. Yeah, I think it was like a dress, a hat, and gloves. And I was like, well, I have to have it. I have to have the hat and I have to have the gloves, or else no mm-hmm. one will understand the costume. My parents were like, whatever. Okay. So, of course, Halloween rolls around. I'm like, I don't want to wear the hat. I don't want to have the gloves. The gloves are itching me. So then it would just be like me in a dress and like no other sort of identifiable.
Sure. You're and aspect. Especially with like a costume like that, I feel like it's just a fancy dress, so you could be, but the thing is, it's a versatile, so you can say you're anyone. You could just be like, I'm someone from the 19th century, what do you want me to tell you?
Right, exactly. But also I was like, I don't even know what the 19th century is.
Good point, really good point.
No one wanted to hear from me, you know.
Yeah, no, totally. That is true though, that like those off the rack children's costumes are like made of the itchiest material possible. It's almost as if they're made to like be super itchy. What is it? Is it because like the material is just like inexpensive or something?
Yeah, I think they just mass produce. It's like, sure. you know, it's like a, I mean, it is a climate nightmare in that, you know, a lot of these are like one and done, or they rip and then they're, you know, it's right. over.
Totally.
But also you're asking a lot for a parent to like, a working parent or even a non-working parent, you're asking a lot for someone to just DIY their kids' costumes. And like you said, you're the fourth child. It's like at some point, you know, yes, we chose or we decided to have these kids, but like, man, parenting them didn't sign up for that.
Listen, I don't even know if I had a kid and my only job was to make them a Halloween costume, like that was the only thing I had to do like all year, I still wouldn't be able to do it. Like I can't make that. Like, no, like, and like, yeah, like I don't think that was a thing when, I don't know if it was like where I am from or when I was growing up or whatever, but like, I don't really think any of my friends, like parents made their costume. That's a whole, if you do that, you probably have a blog about it, and you should.
And you should. Yeah. I had one homemade costume one year. My friend Ashley's grandmother, Susan, Ashley's funny. I'm still friends with her. She has this funny relationship with her grandparents, which just called them by their first names.
That's amazing. I love that. And I love when people call their parents by their first names too. That's like
me too.
One of my favorite thing.
I really like that. My friend Nora's kids call her Nora, and it's so funny. Oh, but her grandmother's name is Susan, so I called her Susan. And sure. Susan made us M&M costumes. So we wore all black, like black leggings and black long sleeve shirts. And then she sewed these big M&M sort of like pillows on either side of us with just like straps. So we just like put them over our head.
Oh my God, that's brilliant.
That was, I think I was red and Ashley might have been green. And I think our friend Rachel was yellow. But I remember loving that. Like that was so special. Absolutely not saying that, like, man, mom, you know what would have made you
Thanks,
a really
mom.
Good parent?
Thanks but for basically not raising that, me, mom.
Yeah, that was really cool. I loved like a store-bought costume because that was also just a measure of cool. But I really loved that homemade costume. In high school, I don't know what your high school was like, but we both grew up in the Northeast, so I feel mm-hmm. like maybe there were some similarities. In high school, we would have shortened classes on Halloween, and then there would be a Halloween parade in the gym in high school where we would walk around and there would be prizes. And I thought, wow, that's not the way we educate the future of, you know,
yeah, we
the
didn't,
world.
We didn't have that in high school. I'm trying to I kind of don't remember if there was anything around Halloween at my high school, but there definitely wasn't like a Halloween parade or anything like that.
Yeah, the parade issue is like, I look back on that and I think, okay. And I'm pretty sure the parents hated it. I'm pretty sure the parents were like very annoyed that their like 17-year-old got to like have a Halloween parade.
It's like firmly a thing for small children, I feel
like. Yes, absolutely.
I think if you're going to combine the words Halloween and parade, you're going to need to be between
fifth grade max.
Yeah, four and like max. 10. Yeah. I totally agree.
But then the Halloween parade of high school would turn in sort of into like the Mean Girls-esque Halloween thing where it was like, we're slutty construction workers, which was a thing that my friends were. And, or, you know, like weird, like racist stuff, not like blackface stuff, but like, you know, just like as bad, if not worse. Like, yeah, like, I mean, my high school's mascot was the Indians up until, was the Indians up until a few years ago when they finally changed it. But like, you can imagine the costumes that came from that, and not just on Halloween. But like, yeah, sexy construction workers, like sexy animals. And then there'd be like someone who did like, someone one year did a real, and I remember this for some reason, tied a Converse, a pink Converse glued a pink Converse to a hat and then dressed in all pink. And she was gum on the bottom of a shoe. And I was like, that, you know, okay, if we're 17 and we're doing this, creativity is key. But I did not like, I didn't do like a dressing up in high school. Like,
I didn't either. And I'm actually remembering now that there was a teacher who did, who came in with like the she had like a net around her with like packets of Jell-O on it, like packages.
Yeah.
And she was like, I'm Annette Funicello. And first of all, it was a reference that none of us
got. None of you understood. Yeah.
Because it was 1996. And also the wordplay didn't really work. And it was just like, this is a thing about me. Like I, whenever I watch something with actors in it, all I can think about is that acting seems really embarrassing. Like I think about... Like, you know, I'll be watching like House of the Dragon and I'll be imagining like the actors saying these ridiculous lines like about dragons. And I'm like, God, it must be so embarrassing to do that. And I kind of feel the same way about like dressing up in costumes. Like it's so embarrassing to have an idea and execute it via a costume. And I don't judge other people for doing it at all, but it makes me, I feel embarrassed about it. And so I think that's sort of also like part of my like reaction to the Halloween thing is because like, especially the gum on the bottom of a shoe thing. And this was, it was kind of like, were you at BuzzFeed, Caroline, during like a Halloween thing?
I mean, they continued. I started at BuzzFeed in 2017 and I went until 2021 and they continued Halloween stuff throughout. There would be pumpkin carving contests and costume contests. Yeah.
And like the thing about those costumes is like, they were really cool. And I think it's cool that that's what people do. But I personally feel embarrassed at the idea of being like, look at this cool costume that I came up with and that I'm wearing. It's this, and I feel the same way about like acting. I don't know. There's something, it is broken within me. This is not a judgment of other people. I want to be clear.
Absolutely. I feel like I lack the confidence. I feel like I lack the confidence and the artistry. And so- If you don't have artistry, you have to have confidence, right? It's true. If you don't have confidence, you know, and you have artistry, that comes in handy. If you don't have either, you can't do it. And also anyone who does dress up for Halloween already has the confidence. It's not a matter of,
it's true,
I did it, but I don't have the confidence. But I just don't have the confidence, which is why I don't do it.
No, that's a good point.
I just outgrew it. And also like my I think maybe like the advent of like the family Halloween costume sort of like came up with social media, but I don't remember like my parents ever dressing up. Like,
are you kidding me? Like, my parents would like, I'm sure that they would notice if like the next morning we like hadn't come home from trick or treating, but like, you know, if November 1st rolls around and like we haven't returned, but like, I don't, there was no family Halloween. Right. That was just like, was not a thing.
But I also do, and I'd love everyone else to like get in touch. Like, was that like, are we just two people who just didn't experience that? Or is that like a thing that is a Facebook thing?
Yeah, that's a good question. I definitely think of it as a social media era thing, but definitely. Maybe people were doing it.
I think my mom like would put on like a, like cat ears or something if they're, you know, sure. I don't know. But that was also, I was the first child. So when I was trick-or-treating and my parents would have to like literally chaperone me doing it, mm-hmm. I mean, my parents were like my age now. They were like 35. So I can imagine like, oh, I'm taking my two-year-old around and like I'll put on like cat ears.
Totally.
But I don't think my mom was like, and we're the Incredibles. And like, I'm this person.
Imagine?
No. But I also, I know that a lot of people do that. And I'm like that. That's where I pause. And I'm like, I think I'm jealous. I'm jealous. I'm wistful for my childhood.
Sure.
But also, but I like, I'll go like so hard for Thanksgiving and Christmas. Like I'll do all those tradition things. It's just like Halloween doesn't speak to me.
Okay. I will say though, like Halloween as an adult speaks to me like
that's
more than
interesting.
Ever. Yeah.
Really?
Like, yes. And like our yard is like, and I put this all up in September because we're away for the whole month of October, but like we have like these like giant zombie hands in the front yard and like, we have a skeleton on the porch that's like holding a skull. Another, I like taped a skull to his hand and he looks like he's like holding a skull. He looks like he's looking at the skull he's holding. And I have like,
wow,
I have a flamingo skeleton things in the yard. Like
we call those spooky mingos.
We have spooky mingos.
Yeah.
We have like other skeletons that look like they're like coming out of the yard. So I really like that. The like spooky aesthetic a lot. Mm. I think it's really fun. And I'm really interested in like the just like the whole concept of like the liminal space between life and death and like undeath. I find that like really fascinating. And I'm sort
oh,
of
wow. Have, like we're like going there.
Yeah. So all that shit I do really like. I don't like when people say spoopy.
Like spooky? Oh, spoopy.
Yeah, like
with a P. Is,
that's
no,
a
I don't
thing
like
about
I
the
don't
season
like
that like, really bums me out. and I know that I could just mute the term like on social media, but like I want to know who's saying it because I want to just tag them in my mind as a person that says that. But
it gives you like a cringe.
Yeah, I just I'm not into it. Oh, and our mutual friend Rachel gave me and Andrea last year these like it's a wine holder, but it's two skeleton hands like in this formation, and you just slip the bottle in there. It's really cool. So I like that kind of shit, which is like I think probably like much cheesier than I think it's probably cooler to dress your family up like the Incredibles than to be two adults without children who have like a really decked out yard. But I will say I see people stopping and like taking pictures of our yard. And like, I've had people say
that's
like,
nice.
Oh, like the zombie hands yard and stuff. So, you know, we have a little bit of like of a little social cachet,
a little cred, you know, okay. I think so because I get like this with Christmas. So I mm-hmm. do get it. Like I don't have kids, but like I love decorating my house. I buy like what did I just buy off of like a Goodwill? No, off of like
a nativity scene?
No, I have not gotten that far into live scenes of Dan does draw the line somewhere.
You pay actors for the entire month of December to sit on your lawn.
I play them all and I dress up. I'm like, I'm not really into costumes, but then I play the entire nativity scene. I bought like a bunch of like Moser glass, like Christmas trees to like put on my cute. Like just that. But it's like the same vibe as you treat Halloween, which is like just I like the decor. I love like the vibe. It's just two different holidays for you and I.
Totally.
But for me, it's like I would rather buy Christmas decor because I have such limited storage. So like I always say like when I am like when I'm like wealth, I will know that I have made it. I will know that I am wealthy when I can have like multiple boxes of different seasonal decor. Like when people are like, these are the pillows I take out for my couch in the summer and I don't use these pillows in the winter. I use other pillows. I'm like, oh my God, when did you win the lottery? Like
yeah,
what?
Yeah, that's another, it's like a whole other lifestyle.
1,000p. So I can commit to like one holiday having my storage boxes. And for me, it's Christmas. It sounds like for you, it's Halloween. But that actually does, well, no, because I know the answer. You have a basement. So you have actual places to store this stuff.
Yeah, we do. We have a basement. So like we have like a few boxes full of like, you know, skeletons and skulls and stuff like that. Although, you know, I think that like the nice thing about being a Christmas head is that the season feels a lot longer. Like the thing about Halloween is like, you know, you put stuff up in October and then you take it down, but.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I was going to ask, what's your calendar? What's your Halloween calendar? Because some people are like August 1st and I'm like, okay. But then I realize on October 1st, if not for Halloween, my tree would be up, you know? So who am I to judge?
Who are you to judge? Yeah, I mean, this year we did it in on September 1st because we were going to be away for October and I want to like enjoy it. But generally October. And then what I did was I kept the zombie hands up and I would like, I got 10 little tiny Santa hats, not that tiny because the zombie hands are actually like pretty big. And I put a Santa hat on each finger and then.
So cute.
And yeah. And then I did I put a Santa hat. We kept the skeleton, but put a Santa hat on him and on the skull he was wearing. And then I think I also did something for like Valentine's Day. I got a bit when the pandemic started, I made a big thing of Purell out of cardboard, like a
sure,
and I put it in
like
his
a decor
hand.
Purell. Oh, yeah. That's fun.
Very topical. So for a while, I would just keep the Halloween thing, but I would just sort of like zhuzh it for like different holidays, and then that started to feel like a lot, so I stopped.
Well, you know what? First of all, in the beginning, in that year, in 2020, those first like 8 months before we even knew a vaccination was going to be available when it really seemed endless. I get it. Like I really did. I have friends who are so anti, like no Christmas before Thanksgiving, like really steadfast rule. And on November 1st, they were like, whatever, like we'll put up the tree. Like it's like, we need some joy. We'll do it. But I really like when you can get multi-function. I like when people like commit to turning their Halloween decor into like Christmassy or sort of like winter holiday themed. It's fun. Some people hate it. I'm not one of those people. I like it. What I don't like a big pet peeve is like in March, if your Christmas decor, like there was like a big couple of neighborhoods down from us. We were like driving through in March 2021, and they still had like Santa and reindeer on the roof. And I was like so offended by that. when it's over, okay? We got to put it away. But there's also someone in our neighborhood who keeps their tree up. It's obviously an artificial tree all year round, and then just completely every month is like a different holiday. So it's like a Valentine's Day tree, St. Patrick's Day tree. And I'm like, if you have enough stuff for that, then more power to you, because I think that's fun.
Yeah, that is fun.
I can't do it because I don't have room, but it's fun.
Right. It's a weird like allocation of resources. Like, cause I feel like if you have the money and the room for that, I feel like I want to help you come up with some different uses for them. However, that is cute. That's fun. That's nice. That's nice. Let people have nice things. That's fine.
Exactly. Let people have nice things. And also, have you noticed, and I don't know if this is like just an LA thing, but I feel like I've seen it more than ever, is the life-size skeletons are everywhere this year.
Yeah, I want to hear about this because I've seen them online, and I'm not going to lie, I would totally – I mean, they're very expensive, and funny because they are marked up on eBay by like – they're like thousands of dollars. But I've never seen one in real life, but I do know that they're kind of sweeping the nation. So you've seen them around in like IRL, Caroline?
They are sweeping – Los Angeles. They are sweeping LA. So there are a few. There are some that are like 3 feet, and those I feel like great. Like, you know, sitting outside someone's mailbox or like on someone's stoop. Yeah, fun. Yeah. But then there is one, and Home Depot sells it, and I'm almost positive my friend Matt bought it because I saw an Instagram story that said so. There is a 12-foot.
A 12-foot, yeah.
Skeleton, and it's like, how can you tell your neighbors that you have a lot of money without being like, and it's like, okay, we bought a 12-foot skeleton, and not only do we have a house that it will work with from a sense of like, it would take over my entire house. Like, sure. 12 feet is like a good percentage of the room that I have here.
It's like, but yeah, it's really big. That's a lot of feet.
It's a lot of feet. It's like, think of all your favorite basketball stars, and this is 5 feet taller.
Yeah, it's like me on the shoulders of your favorite basketball player.
Yeah, exactly. I'm looking up how much Home Depot is charging. I want to say it was way over $100, but
it's like three something. I want to say.
And oh my gosh, you're right. It's $300 and it's out of stock.
It's out of stock everywhere. You can get them. I was looking around on eBay for them just because I was curious like how marked up they were and really and truly like they're going for like over $1,000.
Like what? I don't.
It's the kind of thing where like a 12-foot skeleton sounds really fun. And if it was like $50, you goddamn bet I would have one. But like, you know. It's
like, I wish you would step back from that ledge, my friend. Like, that's the kind of like impulse purchase that I'm like,
Have we thought it through? The thing is, do I have $300? I do. Am I spending it on a 12-foot skeleton? No. Like,
no.
That's we should replace like middle class and like working class and like wealthy with like, the 12-foot skeleton scale.
Yeah. But Sal, you have to admit, you definitely have spent a lot of money on things that some other people wouldn't understand.
No, that's true. I mean, I talked about
you specifically.
me, Sally Tamar, much to my shame and embarrassment, and like texting you feverishly after being like, is it okay that I talked about a $700 litter box?
Sure. Right. But also, we do have cats. Like it's not like we bought one and didn't have cats, which would be weird. Right.
I mean, that would be very strange, and I would ask you to take that episode down if that were the case. But but yeah, no, I mean, like, I'm not here to shame people for their purchases. People should like buy whatever they want and need and whatever makes them happy and spend however much money they have on whatever they want. And I think that you're right that when someone has a 12-foot skeleton, it tells you a thing.
It says something. It tells you something. Yeah. Look, a lot of what I'm saying is coming from a place of jealousy, and I'll just be honest about that. But like, Target has one for $40. It's 60 inches, which I think, if I do math correctly, is 5 feet, right?
Mm-hmm. I only know that so quickly, not because I'm a math head, but because that's almost my height.
Yes.
I mean, 5 feet for how much? 50?
40.
40.
That is the max price I would pay. And I think if for $40, I would want 5 feet of skeleton.
That's right. I think that's
right.
And
that feels correct. But a little $300. Less than a dollar of that. And also, if you can get a $300 12-foot skeleton, it sounds like it's so popular, it's a steal. I mean, I'm sure the people at the skeleton factory were not prepared for the uptick in skeleton heads, literally. But at the same time, are we now playing the game of price gouging a 12-foot skeleton on eBay, as I'm sure we are.
Look, wait. Oh, wait, shit. Did I just?
No, okay, I'm going to look it up, too.
You're going to look.
I'm going to see it right now, and I'm going to be mad about it. 12-foot skeleton. I'm not paying more than $300. I think we have to be reasonable about the way that we all contribute to the supply and demand of the 12-foot skeleton. I think we all, as a society, have to say $300 is the top. You can buy it up and try to sell it on eBay, but we will not be buying it for a penny more than the $299 price tag at Home Depot. But one person says, yeah, I'll spend, and especially in LA, you know, people here have like weird money, like weird, you know, film industry money.
Totally.
And I don't want to hear about, you know, oh, I couldn't find it. Like, yeah, okay, $899, $535, $599, $399 for the 8-foot one, $620. And all of them are in boxes.
Yeah. So
that's horrible to me.
On September 5th, I'm just looking at my Twitter history. I tweeted about having seen a $1,300 one on eBay. And, you know, I agree. Like, we all have responsibility to. You shouldn't price gouge and you shouldn't participate in it. Like, you shouldn't buy stuff from people who are price gouging, because you're right. All it takes is like one person. And I just think like $40 for 50 or yeah, $40 for 60 inches for five feet is like about right. Which means that if you're paying $300, that skeleton should be like about 300 feet tall. It should be like
that
about 250 feet tall.
Should be able to do some admin work for you. That skeleton should be able to like toast you bread. Like that skeleton should also be like a blender. I don't know. But again, what I bought a Balsam Hill Christmas tree this year, which is
those look awesome. Those are the ones that are fake but look real, right?
Yeah, and they're really expensive. And it's like you can also just buy like a non-expensive. But you can also just buy a non-expensive Christmas tree. But I was like, no, I have to have the Rolls Royce of fake Christmas trees. So who am I to say that a 12-foot skeleton?
Yeah,
but I've never seen a supply and demand issue with the Balsam Hill Christmas trees.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely think that like the pandemic and people being home, like in the same way that, you know, people who usually don't put up their tree until like December and are doing it in November. I think it's probably the same thing with the Halloween stuff where people are like, we need some sort of novelty.
I wonder if next year. Okay. Here's a question before we end our episode. How many years before, how many Halloweens do we have left before we lose?
Before the heat death of the universe.
Yeah. Before we lose the joy of the 12-foot skeleton. And then we have people who are offloading them for, you know, nothing.
Yeah, it's just like you go to Goodwill and there's like a torso and then like
exactly. Halloween of what year do you think?
I would say like, let's see. I'm looking at my clock to see if it's 2022, and it is. I'm gonna say that 2024 is gonna be the last major 12-foot skeleton season, and we're just gonna go. I think people are gonna go back to not needing novelty through gigantic home decorations anymore.
Okay.
That's
and
my
do you
prediction.
Think I like that prediction. And you're technically Gen X, right?
Yeah, I think I'm like there's
you straddle
like a micro
the line.
Someone like invented a micro generation that I'm technically it's called like Xennial.
You're a Xennial. That's a
Xennial. That's how you say it? Okay. Yeah.
Oh,
so
no,
so,
I don't know. Now that I'm thinking about that, I just made
No,
it.
I
well,
think that's right.
I said but, it with so, confidence.
I'm either like a young Gen X or I'm the Xennial, Xennial,
okay.
Whatever that is.
So you're at the top of one or the bottom of the other. And
sure.
I feel like perhaps like, I don't know. I mean, millennials don't own, I'm just thinking this through in real time. We don't own houses. I mean, you do. But That's because you're Gen X. So it makes sense.
Because I'm Gen X. So you get, they issue you a house.
They issue you a house. So I don't own a house and I might never, but maybe it actually increases. Maybe the decor demand for a generation that doesn't own houses increases because it's like we own all the we own everything you could possibly put in and outside of a house. We just don't own the house itself.
That's so interesting. Yeah.
That's just a guess. So maybe we get more 12-foot skeletons and it's like, you think I'm rich, but I don't own this house. I just own these skeletons.
I just own the skeletons. That's a really good, again, I do think that like we should start measuring wealth in skeletons, but that's a topic for another podcast. No, I like that. And I think that we should keep our eye on this and we should track this and see where we are in like a year and 2 years.
I think we should too. Yeah. And I would love to know if you can find If someone really bought, okay, you know how like the day after Christmas, the day after Halloween, the day after Easter, the day after Valentine's Day, everything goes like 90% markdown, as if this same holiday wasn't happening in a year from now and you wouldn't need the same stuff. I mean, the best time to buy decor is the day after the holiday that you are shopping for.
Right.
So I'm wondering if someone bought a 12-foot skeleton for $299 at Home Depot for a quick flip and could not wait another 11 months or 10 and a half months to recoup that money. Mm-hmm. Is on November 1st, is it going to be easier and cheaper to get your 12-foot skeletons? And that's what we should initially watch because we'll want to bring the good deals to the people. And I just wonder if it's going to be like Balsam Hill does like their biggest sale mm-hmm. of the year on like December 26th, you know? And I think if you think in terms of like, well, if I had a Christmas tree this year, it is very likely I will have one next year. So mm-hmm. that's a great time to go shopping. I wonder if the same can be said for the big skeleton. And are you willing to take that journey with me to keep an eye on it?
Not only am I willing, it's all I want to do. Yeah. Let's see. Let's look on November 1st and see if we can find some deals on a 12-foot skeleton.
And if you did not get your 12-foot skeleton this year, don't worry. We could find you a very good deal on November 1st, or at least we'll know if we could. And next year will be your year. And won't it be fun to not only have a 12-foot skeleton, but to be able to say, I didn't even pay $299 for it. And I definitely didn't pay $1,000 for it on eBay.
You're legally required to do if you get something for either like a huge discount. If you get something for a huge discount, you're legally required to tell people where you bought it and how much it was
and how
as
much.
Soon as they mm-hmm. remark upon it. Yeah, that's just law.
I have never not screamed the price of something that I bought when someone's like, oh, I like that. And I'm like,
never, not once.
Never, not once. Okay, I'm really excited that we're going to now have the skeleton report.
skeleton watch.
Coming up. But I'm also happy to hear that you have turned a corner, maybe not on trick-or-treating, but you understand trick-or-treating from the perspective of someone else. You're not trying to yuck someone's trick-or-treating.
No. I'm against trick-or-treating for myself, but I think that other people should absolutely have a great time with it.
I like that. That's the kind of radical wokeness that the right is scared of, you know?
This is the future liberals want. I am part of the woke mob, as you know. And by the way, like we give out candy on Halloween at our house now.
Oh,
and it's
the
so
best.
Cute.
Like there's nothing better than being an adult in charge of the candy. And I love saying, take as much as you want.
Caroline, that's what I do too. And like you see other people being like, take one. I'm like, why?
Like I'm like, take the whole bowl. Come into my house. You want anything else?
And I know, it's Halloween. Yeah. Come in. Take anything you want. Yeah, I feel the same way. And I love seeing the little kids in the little costumes. I love seeing like a little baby dressed up as like a flower. You know what I mean? With like a headband. You know, like it's just like it's
in the stroller and the parents are so excited. And it's like this baby doesn't even know they're there.
100%.
I do love that. That part of parenting when it's like it's the kid's first Halloween and like you could definitely easily skip it, but you're like you're so excited about it. Totally. Like I love that. And
I know.
And I think
so
and that
cute.
I love that. And I love the parents dressing up. The only problem I used to have with the candy thing was I used to do like take as much as you want. But when I lived in Brooklyn and we would sit out on the stoop and hand out candy. But like that candy goes fast. Like you could be done with like 9-10 bags of candy in like 20 minutes.
That's true. I mean, that's sort of like the argument about not saying take as much as you want.
But if you're in a suburban like house, prepare.
Yeah, I'm into it. There's something about Halloween where I just feel like the kids should be able to get their whole little fist in there and whatever they can take out, they can keep is kind of how I feel about it.
I also do recognize that the like a big bag of candy probably costs like $14 at this point. So it's like, you know, if you want it to last the night, then I totally get doing the like, please take one or two. But for me, if like my first trick-or-treater comes and wants the whole bowl, then like that's the end of my night also. Then
listen, that's how I feel. Turn off the light, go inside, watch TV. You handed out candy. A lot of candy to one child.
A lot of candy. I know. I did it. I provided one great Halloween for one child.
Exactly.
And what else could you want from me? I do have one decor request that I'd love to see you perhaps execute before we head out from this show. Sure. I would like you to print out your essay against trick-or-treating. I would like you to do that thing where you like crumple it up and dip it in tea so it looks like
like a scroll from the Middle Ages.
And I'd like you to find like a cheap like black frame, and I want you to hang it up every year around Halloween. I want that to be
decor. I wish. See, the thing is, if I had been in seventh grade at a time of like computers and stuff like that, I would have it. And
scroll and a rock
and a feather and a quill. So it's like it's lost to the ages. Otherwise, I would absolutely do that.
I think you could actually like just because I really want to see it. I think you could probably just do a mock-up of like the title. Because you know you wrote it. It's not a lie. Just do the title, buy Sally Tamarkin on an 8x11, dip it in tea, make it look like the days of yore. Sure. Frame that. And I think that would be good decor.
That's great. I love that idea. And I'm going to do it. Good. Done and done.
I think you should actually get in your car now, drive back to the East Coast, cut the trip short.
Sorry. Sorry, honey. We're turning around.
We have to dip some paper in tea. You know what? A good partner wouldn't even ask questions. Okay, Andrea?
She'd be already loading the car.
Yeah, she'd be like, "The Yeti cooler is ready. The Yeti is ready. We're heading out.
Is ready. I'm brewing tea in the collapsible kettle.
I love it. So, does this mean that the next time we record, are we going to be IRL, or is that 2 weeks from now? I think it's soon. Whatever it is, it's not next week. It's the next week.
Is that right? The 20th?
I think it's the 25th, right?
Yes, you are right.
That's exciting. And that is going to be a blast. And even if we can't record IRL, we're still going to hang, and I'm still going to have you drink coffee out of the Yeti tumbler.
Yeah, we're still going to hang.
We got plans.
I'm very excited for that.
Amazing. Well, welcome to the West Coast, land of soft water and 12-foot skeletons. We're happy to have you. And please, like, okay, A, soft water heads, hard water heads, get into the Facebook group. Tell us all about it. Want to hear about your best Halloween costume, worst Halloween costume, itchiest Halloween costume, your approach to candy on Halloween. If you are against trick-or-treating like Sally Tamarkin, we want to hear it all. And if you're looking for a skeleton, mark calendar, November 1st, we are going to be on the case. Okay, so hang on to your bones. We will take care of you as always. And we will see you next time for another episode. Bye. You just listened to another episode of G-Thanks Just Bought It, edited and mixed by Veronica Gruba and produced and hosted by me, Caroline Moss. In between episodes, you can always head to the G-Thanks Instagram at G-Thanks Just Bought It Pod and the G-Thanks Facebook group to get and give life-changing recommendations of your own. Subscribe to our weekly sale and discount emails at gthanks.substack.com. It's free. And you can reach me at caroline@gthanksjustboughtit.com or leave me a message at 424-245-0736 with a product recommendation, and you may be featured on an upcoming episode. G-Thanks is powered by subscribers like you. To keep all of our G-Thanks content free and accessible to all, consider making a monthly donation of $2 to keep us going at patreon.com/G-Thanks and Friends.